You know, God can only bring back, and this might be a good time just to share this, God can only bring back scriptures that you read. You know, oftentimes, you know, we need God to move in our hearts and lives, and God is faithful because he said, any broken or contrite heart before him, he will come and he will help because they're broken before him. But you see, God can only take scriptures that we know, that's in us, that we have read or we have heard, you know, listening to preachers or listening to people. But he can only take scriptures that we know and bring it back to our remembrance. That's why God instructs his people in Timothy, I think it's Timothy 1:7, something like that. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see? God says, study not for God's sake, but God says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now you might say, well, Pastor, some people have more time than others. And hey, I understand that with work and all the things going on. But God wants us to study his word to get it in us so that when we need it, he can bring it up. He can bring it up in us. He can bring it in our minds to remind us, look, this is what I am. See, this morning, be still and know that I am God. God knows what's going on in each person's life. He knows what's happening. And he knows, he says, look, be still. Because we can work and pull and do and try to connive and do all kinds of stuff. You might say, connive? Yes, that's in the heart of man. That is. Might not be a proper word, but it's there. But it's in there because it says the heart is one of the most deceitful things known unto man because of the sin nature, the effects of it, and what it has done to the heart of man. And only God can change those things and put us in the right direction. But we need to know the word of God. We need to instill it in our hearts and souls. And one of the major ways is just to study it, to read it, just to read it. Just to get it in our hearts and get it in our souls, the scriptures, so that we would know when we go through times of trouble or trials, that we know the scripture says in Isaiah that God does not faint. He's not weary. He's not on vacation this week, so he can care less about me. But God does not grow weary. He's never tired of hearing from us. He's never tired of answering our prayers. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. But sometimes the events of life or the pressures of life sometimes can be overbearing at times. It can be. When pressure comes from the outside and it affects what's going on the inside also. We're human beings. The fall of humanity. And sometimes our minds can become bombarded with the pressures of all kinds. Can be. You might say, as Christians, yes, definitely. The devil's out there trying to bombard the minds of Christians. That's why it says, the scripture says, have the mind of Christ. How do you have the mind of Christ? By studying his word, by reading his word, by praying and interceding, by going to God and letting God work in our hearts and lives to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Things can be overwhelming at times. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Sometimes things can be overwhelming or with the pressures of life, sometimes with children or marriage or money, finances. Those things can bombard and just put so much pressure. But you know, if we take that scripture in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You'll know that scripture. You'll write it down and you'll say, Lord, I know that scripture. You said to be still, and I want to be still before you. And I'm not trying to try to maneuver anything, but Lord, you're going to plan things out and you're going to get things done. Be still and know that He is God. And He will work things out on your behalf. As we give Him the things that are bombarding us. Don't you know that God didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, Joe, and I'll just use myself as an example because I like to do that. I don't like to use, makes people uncomfortable. God didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, Joe's going to be bombarded with this or that. Oh, and I better do something. He knows the past, the present, and the future, and He works things out. And sometimes He will allow these things to come in. Because our God is in control of all things in our hearts and in our lives as Christians. And He will allow things to come sometimes so that we will get back on our knees before Him. So we will get back in tune with Him so that we will know His voice. And we would be still before Him. And we would know that it's nothing of us, but it's of our God that is working things out. Why do you think when God chose that army, the Gideon's army, I think it was Gideon's army, is that what it, and He had them, they started out with a lot. It's just coming back to my mind. Started out with a lot of men, and God had them go to the water and take the water and sip it. And He said, look, choose the ones that don't look down at the water, but cup the water in their hands and bring it in their mouth and are still looking. That's the ones you take. And He was only left with a few hundred or so, or less than 100, 300? Okay, good, thank you. I'm trying to remember this thing. That's not in my notes. What did He start out with, though? Do you remember? 30,000. 30,000, amen. From 30,000 to 300, you know who wanted to get the praise? Man at one time. Because they started with 30,000. But God said, I'll make sure you don't. I need to be praised. I will get the glory. And all, and down to 300, and they overcame and they destroyed the enemy. God used it. Look what God can do. He can destroy a nation. He can build up a nation. He can do what He wants to do by many or by few. But for some reason, man, in general, mankind has a problem because they like to be looked at. Man likes titles. They want to be looked at and, oh, that's prophetess or bishop or whoever down the road. That shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Not that it's wrong to call anybody these names, but we need to be a humble people before our God. A humble people before our God. A humble people before our God. It says in 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. I'll read it here. It says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Sometimes that's easier said than done. I know it. And it gets hard at times. But God says, cast your cares upon Him. He's saying, give it to me. Because I care for you. Give it to me. I mean, who wants somebody else's problem? We don't. We have enough of our own, huh? What? Look at it that way. But God says, come. Give me your problem. Give me your situation. Give me the thing that's troubling you. Give me those things. And you'll see what I can do. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Or you can say it this way. Casting all your cares upon Him, for you are His concern. Could have been translated that way. You are His concern. Can you imagine? We are the concern of our God. That blows me away. that my God actually cares about me. That your God actually cares about you. Everything. He actually is concerned about what's going on in your life from the inside to the out. Now, honestly with God, I'll be honest with you, He's more concerned about what's inside than out. Because the inside affects the outside. That's what's supposed to happen as a Christian. The inside of God, Him working in us, affects the outside of the world and affects the outside of our persons. The enemy says, affect the outside, and hopefully it will affect the Christian on the inside. That's why God says, be still. This is it. Be still. This is us. Something else? All this stuff. I mean, look, and I'm not trying to fault us. That's not, oh, no, 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 no. But this is what we are. We are just all over the place. And we're leaving the things of God behind. God is trying to raise up a generation of people in this church, and people are bucking Him. Bucking Him bad. Because we're all over. And hey, I'm not trying to say it's you and not me, because it's me and you. We're all in the same boat. But God is trying to raise up a remnant of people that will stand for Him no matter what. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. I'm not a doomsday preacher because I don't see it. Till after the rapture, then it's doomsday for the whole world. But God is still faithful. But here we are all over the place. All over the place. Saying, Lord, show me what to do. Things are happening, and we're trying to get control of all these things that are happening. We can't control it. But God says, get on your knees, a humble people before me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God is trying to raise up, and I know it, a generation of people in this place that will wait upon Him, that will look to Him, that will seek Him, that will seek Him with everything within them, that will be sold out to Him, that we won't run from this thing. What the news media says, and we run to this side, oh Lord, this is what they say. No, what does the Word of God say? Look, let me tell you this. That ISIS stuff, don't let it fear you. Don't let it fear you. That's what the devil tries to do. They're demon-possessed people coming from the pit of hell. There's no humanity of humankind that what they have done to children, men, and women that has any inkling of God in them. Not the God of Jehovah God. But we know what lineage they come from. Remember Abraham, the big mistake? That's all from the Bible, people. But we don't have to worry about that stuff. He says, be still and know that I am God. Honestly, just because they say they're Christians that they're killing doesn't mean they're Christians. They're human beings, but I don't think they're born again Christians, most of them. But anybody that takes somebody's life, it's not right like that. And you see, we can't fight that thing on a physical thing and win. We won't win. But we can fight it in a spiritual thing and we will win. The uprising of evil in the last days. But God said also the uprising of the Holy Ghost in the last days. My God. that we can look to our God and we can trust in Him, and that we don't have to go around looking all over trying to do all this stuff. That He says, look, my people, be still and know that I am God, and see the salvation of your God in this generation. That we can trust in Him and we can stand still and saying, Father, because you see, when you stand still, you can't do all this activity stuff. Which doesn't mean a hill of beans to anybody. But you stand still, and this is what you do. You just say, Lord, you're in control. I put my faith in you, my trust in you, Lord, that you are in control of the situation of what's going on. And we will see the salvation of our God. In all situations, personally in our own lives, in our country, we need a revival like never before. My God, we need a revival. We need a revival in our land. Try to get five people to come pray and see if we have revival. The body of Christ as a whole and the church, the body, it's all the same, body of Christ, the church. We see our country going to hell in a handbasket. And this is what we want. Serve barbecue dinners. Nothing wrong with serving. I mean, you know, hey, look, I wish I had one today. Amen. I have barbecue dinner. But let me tell you, barbecue dinner won't do anybody for down the road. And it won't bring revival. It won't bring protection. It won't bring help. God says, be still. He says, pray, my people. Pray, my people. Pray, my people. Pray, pray, pray. And what we're saying is, look, when we pray, we're saying, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I can't handle it. Father, we don't know what we're going to do without the interruption of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and lives and in the church of the living God. We're going to hell like everybody else. But only through the power and the blood of Jesus. Be still and know that I am God. We need to be dedicated to the things of my Lord. I've said, Lord, build this church so strong that the foundation that nothing, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Most of the church body today, it's so paralyzed, it can't move because they're so scared. Because on Tuesday now, they can't go maybe to their acting class at church. Or their other, I mean, all kinds of stuff happens, people. Because they're scared. Because they don't know what's going to happen. We don't feel secluded anymore. You know, did y'all hear this? My Lord, I jumped for joy the other day. On February the 16th, Netanyahu, who is the, I guess, prime minister, is that what they call him, of Israel. In his address, he said, Jews, all Jews around the world, come home. He said, this is the only place where you will truly be protected. I said, my God, that's God. He doesn't realize that God has used him. The only time I ever heard it, never again. Answer the phone. You know, we need to answer God's phone. That's okay. Answer the phone. But can you imagine? He called them to come home. Look, you should have shouted, because that's end time prophecy that God is saying He will draw His people. And the whole church, the world, tried to raise money. You ever heard of all that junk? Trying to get this Jew to go back to Israel, trying to do this. That wasn't God more than a man on the moon. Man trying to do it. But when the prime minister got up and said, look, we shouted, Lord, it's coming. You're coming. Because you know what? He's drawing his people back home, people. He didn't say you'd be protected in America or Canada or anywhere. He said, come home, come home, come home, where you will truly be protected. Whew. Anybody else heard that on the news? You want to shout, huh? Praise. They said anything else? That was it? One time? Yeah, that's about right. That's okay. Oh, yeah, that's true. He's addressing Congress, is it? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, cast all your cares upon him. Psalms 55:22. Y'all, I haven't even gotten close to where I want to be. Y'all can stay till about 12:31. Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. It has to be planted in the right place. I heard this story, and you might have heard it too. I don't know. I heard a story of the Methodist Church 200 years ago. I heard this on SBN. Jimmy Swagger was telling this story, and I thought, oh, God. 200 years ago, the Methodist Church were the movers and shakers of America as far as the Holy Spirit and everything. I mean, they were the movers and shakers. That church was the, as far as Pentecostal churches, they put all that lump into anything that's not Catholic. They put Pentecostal, and so they were the movers and shakers. This one church was a relatively large Methodist church. The Methodist pastor, his daughter, got saved. Now, you would think, well, don't these people preach being saved? No, not like they should. Or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God, that's a no. The founder would be flipping in his grave if he knew this. But the Methodist daughter got saved. And she kept going to that church. That was hundreds of years ago. Kept going to this her father was the pastor and all this stuff. And when her father would preach and he'd say something that she just, the Spirit of God would leap on the inside of her and she'd say, not out of being out of order, she'd just say, praise God. Or every once in a while she'd say, hallelujah. What she was saying was, amen to what my father's saying is truth. Well, the church, a lot of people didn't like that. They wanted them to come to church, stay in the pew, sing a few little songs, don't clap too much, sit down, and go home. Well, the big honchos of the Methodist church got wind of this thing, and so they send the presbyters there to talk with the pastor. So they get in, they talk with the pastor, and they tell him, look, you need to get control of this situation going on. I mean, can you imagine? It's just a little hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But she had something they didn't have. She had Jesus. That makes the difference. And so, they talked to him. The Methodist pastor said, well, I've talked to her before. I'm going to have to talk to her again. And so he talked to her again. And she said, okay, Dad. But she couldn't help it. The power of the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. The power and the anointing in her life. And so as he would preach, she'd say, yeah, amen. Praise God. And so finally, after a while, they just kind of looked at her and said, well, maybe she's a little off. Something's wrong with her, whatever, Even though in relativity, she was a brilliant woman, very educated woman. They just put her off as something that's loony, And so she still kept doing her stuff, and not out of disrespect anything. Just she gets so excited. Well, her father is coming, is on his deathbed. So she goes to the hospital to see him, and she knew. Now, can you imagine a Methodist pastor not being saved? When they die, where would they go? Not to heaven. And she knew that. And so she, you know, visiting with him and whatever. And so there was a lot of people there. And he said, his daughter, and he named her. And he said, I need to talk to you alone. And so they had everybody get out. And so she talked with him. He said, I know God lives in you. And I'm about to pass away. I need what you have. Because I don't feel right. So she led him in the sinner's prayer, and he got saved. And he asked her this. He said, look, right before I'm about to pass away, I'm going to give you a little sign with my eye. And he said, when I give you that sign, I want you to shout me to glory. The one they thought was crazy is the one they turned to. And everybody came back in, and it was only between those two. And he was about to pass away, and he gave her the look. And she starts shouting. And he passes away. Can you imagine? He left earth with his daughter shouting. The gates of glory have been opened up to him. Praise God. Praise God. What God can do. You know, David, and this is where I wanted to go, but I'm going to be cutting it. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 29, it talks about David. And David, we know, we think of David as a man of God's own heart, and yes, he was all that. But David had joined ranks with defending the leader of the Philistines. Not good. David had basically turned his back on God and was with another army, the Philistines. And they, him and his men, were protecting the leader of the Philistine army. And when it was time for them to go back to Ziklag, which I know you probably know what that is, city, it says when he got back there that him and his men found the city was burnt down. All their wives, their children were taken. All their cattle, everything was taken from them. Now, you might say, why would God allow that to happen? When we stray away from God, God will allow certain latitude of the enemy to do certain things to bring us back to our knees before him. And it says that when they got back, everything was burnt. All there, can you imagine the wives and children? Everything was taken. Now, the mercy of God is this. They didn't kill anybody. God still was in control. Because usually when you go in, when you go in, you kill all the women, the children, cattle, everything. You just kill it. But they took them as slaves, and they took all their wealth with them. And when the men and David got back, the men came against David and said, it's your fault. It's your fault. And David did the right thing, and he went to God. All along, that's what God wanted. He would have known, if he would have went with God and got with him, he would have known that he shouldn't have been with the Philistine army protecting their leader, the ones that worship idols and hated God. And so he got with God. It says that they brought to him, and in those days, they had it was called a Urim and a Thurim. They don't know exactly what it is, but it was kept in a bag type thing. They don't know if it was sticks. They don't know if it could have been whatever. These two things are what they would take, because you have to understand, the Holy Spirit didn't live in people. We don't know how that is too much. We don't know. And they took the Thurim and the Urim, and what they would do, they'd go to God with these things, and God would show them yes or no through it. It's an amazing thing. And David went to God and he repented and said, Father, forgive me for not following and doing what you wanted me to do and going in the wrong direction. But I have these men that are ready to kill me. God, let that uprising happen. Because can you imagine how these men felt? Their children were gone. Their wives were gone. Their possessions were gone. And look, the only person they could look at was all-inclusive David. And these men looked at him and said, we're going to get you. And I mean, they were coming after him. And David did the right thing. And he got with God and he knelt before God and he said, Lord, what am I to do? He brought these, the Urim and the Thummim, to him and he said, do you want me to go and get what is ours? Is it okay? Interesting. Is it okay? After he repented, God said, David, go and get your stuff. Approved by God. Sometimes we think, well, I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. You can't go in the places that you want to go in if you really want to. You have to do what the Word of God says, what the Bible says. Keep away from evil at all cost. It's not right for Christians to gamble. You might get mad at me. I don't care. I love you and I care about you. It's not right to gamble. It's not right to throw your money, play cards, and gamble. It's not right for you to walk into a casino. It's not right. It's not right to look at filthy stuff on the computer, huh? It's not right for us to look at filthy stuff in the aisle of Walmart. You might say, well, and I know all the junk. And you're going, oh, my God. It's like you just, oh, Lord. But you see, like Billy Graham said, sometimes it's not that first look that gets you in trouble. It's the second look. And that's wise. Because we can, you know, we gotta do what is right. You might say, well, how do we do what's right? You get with God, you find out what's right, and you find out what's wrong. You read his word. You get with him, and you say, Lord, take out the evil in my heart, Lord God, and give me a heart after you. And you will see that God, those things that brought you pleasure will not anymore. And it will be God that's working in your heart and life, turning towards him and asking God to move in those areas. And God told David, go. And David went and restored all that back. Got the women, their wives, their children, their possessions, everything. Because when they got to them, they were partying all over. It's a big long story with that. I mean, they were having a party and a half. Because they said, we've won. And they attacked them and killed basically all of them and took all their stuff back. Praise God. He's the restorer of souls. I think of the story of Lazarus. You know, Mary and Martha had buried their brother. They sent word to Jesus and said, look, without you, he's gone. And by the time Jesus got there, all in the order of God's plan, he had passed away. And they were so heartbroken, people. Heartbroken. And Jesus said, where is he? And they showed him. He said, roll the stone away. And he looked into that cave, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And it says Lazarus came out. People, our God is God, even in the midst of death. Our God is God, even in the midst when we have not obeyed him correctly. Our God is God, even when we've done things wrong. But we repent. Our God is God. Jesus will heal all those areas in our lives if we allow him to. He will take care of those things that affect us in marriage or in families, in children, in finances, in all the things that happen. Our God is in control. And Jesus can heal if we allow him to. But it takes us saying what the scripture says, be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. Let God take control of those things. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Jesus. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for today. Lord God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. Lord, I just want to thank you for speaking to us, encouraging your people. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be like the lepers that don't go back and thank you. We want to be the church that thanks you. Because, Lord, we know without you we are nothing, but with you we are everything. Father, we thank you for your word. Be still and know that you are God. And Father, Lord, we look to you for our help, and we look to you that you will lead us and guide us. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would rest upon them, that you will encourage them, help them, and be with them no matter what's going on in their lives. From their homes to their jobs, Lord, to family, in Jesus' name, that the power of the Holy Spirit will loose your people and help them to keep their eyes upon you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would meet all the needs of the families, Lord God, and all the needs of your people. Be with them and help them. And Father, we've cast all our cares upon you this morning because you know, Father, you are concerned about us. And thank you for that. Father, I thank you for your people and I thank you for your protection. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you.